All right, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden has officially dropped out of the 2024 presidential race. I have a statement right here. It goes like this, quote, "My fellow Americans, over the past 3.5 years, we have made great progress as a nation. Today, America has the strongest economy in the world. We've made historic investments in rebuilding our nation and lowering prescription drug costs for seniors and expanding affordable health care to a record number of Americans. We've provided critically needed care to 1 million veterans exposed to toxic substances, passed the first gun safety law in 30 years, anointed the first African-American woman to the Supreme Court, and passed the most significant climate legislation in the history of the world. America has never been better positioned to lead than we are today. I know none of this could have been done without you, the American people. Together, we overcame a once-in-a-century pandemic and the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. We've protected and preserved our democracy, and we've revitalized and strengthened our alliances all over the world. It has been the greatest honor of my life to serve as your president, and while it has been my intention to seek re-election, I believe it is in the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and to focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term. I will speak to the nation later this week in more detail about my decision. For now, let me express my deepest gratitude to all those who have worked so hard to see me reelected. I want to thank Vice President Kamala Harris for being an extraordinary partner in all this work. And let me express my heartfelt appreciation to the American people for the faith and trust you have placed in me. I believe today what I always have, that there is nothing America can't do when we do it together. We just have to remember we are the United States of America." Okay, so let's talk about what is going on in that statement, what it does say, what it doesn't say. The statement stops short of explicitly endorsing Kamala Harris, but if you go over to X and see Joe Biden's account there, X formerly known as Twitter, he has given the full-throated endorsement to Kamala Harris. He is propping her up and he is opening the door for her. The first half of the statement is basically a recapitulation of what the Biden campaign has been telling voters for a long time. It was what they had hoped was going to override any sense of his age. And now what he's basically done in this statement is he said, "Yes, I am the one who made these changes and who fought for the American people," in his account. "And it is now incumbent on us all to support someone who played a role in that and contribute to making it happen." That would be his vice president, right? Here's the problem. He's outlining the issue right here. The issue right here is that all of the baggage that Joe Biden has now surrounded himself with, whatever you want to think of his presidency, is also belonging to Kamala Harris. And I think that this is ultimately going to prove to be what the Trump people are going to snap on. However, that being said, like I have said in my previous podcast, the Trump campaign existed 100% to target Joe Biden, not to target Kamala Harris. So while there might be some cause for alarm in the Trump camp, I'm also guessing that they think they can repurpose a lot of what this campaign was built on towards Kamala Harris. It's just that the thing is now going to have to be more policy oriented. It's not going to be about Joe Biden being frail or what the personal shortcomings are of the Biden crime family or the so-called Biden crime family, according to Donald Trump. They're actually going to have to make contact with the policies significantly more. And I think that this will also prove a problem for the Trump campaign because the facts aren't on their side on a number of levels here. Trump has tried to make the case that crime is increasing from the period from 2020 to 2024, which is manifestly untrue. And if anyone is listening to me and wants to dispute that, first of all, the numbers say that without a doubt. Crime, especially violent crimes and kinetic crimes, are down. A lot of the feeling that they were up was obviously anecdotal, but let's just consider the raw playing field for criminals the last couple of years, 2020 to 2024. The economy was locked down for a large portion of that time. It is just not statistically the fact that crime was on some great increasing wave during the time that Joe Biden was president. And I think that Kamala Harris is no doubt better prepared to make that factual case to the American people. Understand something. Her history, Kamala Harris, is as a very, very rough and tough prosecutor who put people away for smoking weed. She can go to the American people with an honest case for being a law and order president. There's no doubt about that. It's also true that Kamala Harris, despite her age, which she's on the older side in general, she's getting close to 60 now, despite this age, she is not surrounded by scandal. She is not the type of person where you can make claim after claim after claim for why she ethically should not be president. By the time Joe Biden got to 2020, there were numerous instances of him running a very, very dishonest, like a hugely dishonest 1996 campaign. Kamala Harris herself got up in a debate and said, maybe I believe the allegations that Joe Biden is a rapist. There have been all kinds of things that Joe Biden really, really lost points, even from within on. Kamala Harris is in some senses a tabula rasa for running a campaign like this, even though she was obviously running a campaign like this in 2020. This is really her second time on the national stage. Trump world is looking very arrogant right now. And hubris is what happens right before the fall. And I'm telling you right now, just looking at how far we are from the election, this thing is very far from over. One of the things I'll point out, it's a military history thing and it's worth thinking about, but when you win victories, when you win battles and you secure new regions and you conquer new grounds, it is now on you to maintain those grounds. And that is something that historically Trump is not good at. He's having his moment out in the sun now, but there's no doubt things are about to equalize a lot here. Many of the advantages that Trump has created for himself are going to quickly turn into disadvantages very quickly here. First one is going to be the advantage he created by generating this narrative about him being the strong and, let's just say it, youthful one compared to Joe Biden. That has now categorically shifted. He's going to try to make the case that he is the law and order president with a literal conviction on his resume compared to what Kamala Harris has on her resume, which is as literally a prosecutorial bulldog, who, I'm going to be honest, is not my first pick here. If you want my first pick here for the Democratic nominee, I think it should be Josh Shapiro. Josh has a short but real policy record as governor, and he will be able to confront people on both sides of the aisle. He supported cutting corporate tax rates in Pennsylvania by about 6%. He proposed hiring more police officers. I think it was like 2,000 more police officers he wanted for Pennsylvania. He has a quote here. He said, "The more police officers we hire, the more opportunities we have for them to get out of their patrol cars, walk the street, learn the names of the kids in the community." Josh Shapiro is openly centrist enough that progressives were railing against him in his 2022 gubernatorial campaign, saying that there were many things that he was on board with that they wouldn't be on board with. And this is exactly what the Democratic Party needs. They need someone sane, sober, and sensible who is close to the center. What's more is that he actually opposed vaccine and mask mandates. This is not the resume of your typical Democrat here, and it could cause him problems, honestly, in this coming contest, but still, I think that a lot of this is the DNA of a centrist and a legislative history of a centrist, which I don't think Kamala has. Yes, he increased the minimum wage to $15 an hour in Pennsylvania, which has draws the ire of some in the Republican Party, though I don't know why, but he also lowered corporate income taxes by like a great amount. And by the end of 2023, the credit rating in Pennsylvania had increased from AA- to AA, according to the ratings of Standard & Poor's, Fitch Ratings, and Moody's Investor Service. Now, this is a guy also who has a record on education, though he hasn't been in, you know, he hasn't been around long. During the drafting of Pennsylvania's state budget in the mid-2023 year, Shapiro supported a Republican-led school choice proposal that distributed like $100 million to families for private school tuition instead of sending their children to public schools. Finally, Josh, being Jewish and surely for other reasons, has strong support for Israel in the Israel-Hamas war. He has called on people and governments to condemn the 2023 Hamas-led attack on Israel. He's called it a moment to recognize what is wrong. He has talked about the evils of Hamas, and he faced a lot of criticism for his remarks in a letter written by CAIR, which, if you don't know CAIR, C-A-I-R, go check it out. It was signed by 43 Pennsylvania Muslim organizations who basically say that Shapiro did not recognize the structural root causes of the conflict and chose to intentionally ignore the civilian losses of life in Gaza. Now, if you have that on your resume, you're going to impress both Republicans and Democrats. Finally, on abortion, Shapiro seems to openly want abortion legislation to favor choice. However, in August 2023, not that this goes against choice, he announced his administration would end Pennsylvania's 30-year contract with Real Art. But enough about that. Let's talk about what's realistically going to happen in the next couple of days. Joe Biden will give a more formal statement to the American people. And it's possible that some of these candidates, not just Josh Shapiro, but maybe Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer, will throw their hats in the ring to see if they can contend for this vice presidential or presidential slot. Take care. Thank you for joining us on another episode of Thoughtful Disgust.